Hello, everyone, and welcome to another of the Pulse Podcast Season 2. I'm your host, Dr. Maida Afan, and I have Dr. Tazeen Rizvi co-hosting with me. Always a pleasure to have her on as well. Super excited to have our conversation with our guest today. We're going to be talking about the evolution of life sciences in an era of innovation. And with us, Liz McFarland, Vice President of Sales, Life Sciences Division at RWS. She spearheads a team to engage with industry partners in offering translation and technology solutions to support their communication efforts. Welcome to the podcast, Liz.
Yeah, good morning. Good afternoon. So happy to be here.
It's so great to have you.
Absolutely. And Liz, tell us a little bit about your background, please, and what your role entails at RWS.
Yeah, sure. So I've been in the localization business for a little over a decade. And I've been focusing on offering the translation services and technology to the life science area, specifically pharmaceutical and med device companies. Prior to that, I spent about 15 years selling into healthcare and pharma with Siemens Medical, working within their medical devices, at Quest Diagnostics Clinical Trials, working with their clinical trial laboratory services. So have had an interesting career path to get to translations.
Oh, that's great. So Liz, I think we'll start the first question where we want to pick your brains on is, what do you think life science companies need to know about translation services?
Yeah, so this is a really good place to start because I think there are definitely gaps in what life science companies think translations are for, how we do them. And the importance of them, right? So first and foremost, translations cannot be treated as a commodity, right? Because they're not, right? It's a service that has very stringent ways of operating. We use qualified and educated people who do the translating. We have multiple ISO certifications that we have to keep up, and we are regularly audited for those certifications. And RWS actually develops technologies for the translation business and then also invests on improving on them year after year. Second, I don't think treat translations as an afterthought, right? We need to be brought in the beginning of a project, of a program. As the linguistic experts, we can definitely offer insight as to the best ways of working. We can help the clients understand the impact of how and when translation should be happening. Translations can only be rushed so much without affecting quality, right? True. And that's what we want to do. We want to deliver quality. We are a professional service that is handling their company information, right? A lot of that is, a lot of the time, it's very sensitive. It's confidential information, and it's always important, right? It's information that sells their product, it educates their employees, and essentially impacts their success. And I like to bring up an example of a poor translation. Even before translations was considered a professional service, back in the 60s, Pepsi had this slogan, "Come alive with Pepsi," right? And although this was never formally acknowledged, but it was never formally denied either by Pepsi.
Okay.
There was a Chinese translation that came out and it was publicized as, read back in English, "Pepsi brings your ancestors back from the dead," right? Not a good thing. But that was because there was a use of at that time, a non-professional translator, and unfortunately impacted a business.
No, absolutely. I mean, you've shared a really great example. And I think especially now, Liz, the importance of having the right messaging out there is so important because we're in this world of infodemic and social media where we are bombarded with so much information all the time. It becomes even more critical to be very careful of what we say about it because we need to be aware of how it can be perceived from a different group of people, because exactly we right. all tend to actually digest information the way we see it. So I think it just becomes so more important, I would say, in this digital era that we're in.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many considerations that aren't necessarily thought of when you request a translation, right? There is definitely cultural considerations. Absolutely. Right? There's slang sometimes considered that may be appropriate in one language, but not in another language. And there's also words that are untranslatable, right?
Yeah,
so how do you translate a concept, right? Or right. Translate a word that doesn't exist?
No, absolutely.
I think those are all valid points. And I just wanted to ask you, Liz, you know, with so much competition in the life science industry, it's a huge sector. There is an increased demand of, you know, accelerated go-to-market strategies, and compliance and accurate translations play a huge role in that. So how important is it for life science companies to not only leverage expert resources, but technologies like machine translation for process optimization?
Yeah, so as we just mentioned, right, you know, the world has so many outlets and so many avenues of communication, and it seems like it's just moving continuously at the speed of light. You know, we're definitely feeling that in our business from our clients. You know, they want it faster, right? It doesn't matter whether it's content that is, it's clinical, regulatory, marketing, the faster they can get this content out, the sooner it's in the hands of the people that will use it, right? In the last 20 years, we've become somewhat conditioned to have instant gratification, right? So we can know more, do more, and experience more faster. And that train of thought is definitely a part of how businesses are operating today, right? And they want technology, which can be a vehicle to deliver the translation faster. You know, there are so many technologies, both behind the scenes and in front, that can assist with increasing the speed at which translations are done, as well as maintain quality and consistency. You specifically asked about machine translation, and it does have a place in life sciences. But when the layperson hears machine translation, right, probably one of the first things that they think of is Google Translate, right? And while Google Translate, it's good for the purpose, for the case it's being used for, right? It has a place, and that place is used in a public setting, right? There's no security. There's no formal oversight for accuracy, and there is no qualification that translation is 100% accurate or culturally acceptable, right? Because it's what we call raw translation.
Yeah.
When you look at machine translation, using it in a professional life science setting, you know, where people's lives and health are at stake, where the incorrect placement of a single number could mean the difference between life and death, you know, it is a technology that has its place, but there are proper use cases for that technology, right? So to answer your question, yes, leveraging machine translation in life sciences should be considered. But as a responsible company, you know, we have to offer the right technology at the right time for the right use case, right? You know, examples currently that exist where MT can be used are things like blogs, email support, knowledge-based articles, even legal documents, anything where the gist of the document is being retrieved. The next level of machine translation would be MTPE, which is machine translation post-edit. And this is where a human is involved, right? To look at the machine translation, look at the source document to make sure that the machine translated things accurately, that is conveying the same message that is meant in the source language. So as machine translation evolves and improves, I do believe it's going to be one of the technologies that really influence speed and accuracy of translations for any content.
No, absolutely. And it's so important where you mentioned, Liz, that it's easy. People say it's Google Translate, but it's so much more than that. So when we talk about clinical content, and we do that, we provide clinical content that is written and validated by clinicians. I mean, people don't necessarily understand that it's important. This information can save somebody's life, or this information could maybe adversely affect somebody's life or health outcomes. And that's why it's become so important that any information out there is validated and comes from a source of credibility. Especially again, I would repeat myself, especially in today when there's so much incorrect information available to people. So to my next question then, Liz, would be, what do you think is the scope and the challenges of providing translation and localization services?
Well, the scope is massive, right? I mean, you pretty much go to any website today and there's a drop down for what language you would like to read that website in, right? It could be some could be just four languages, but I've seen them upwards of 60 languages, right? So those are the truly global companies that are selling a product or service. But in terms of the challenge, right, there's estimated that there's about 650 human translators in the world. I know that seems like a large number, but as I break it down, you'll see it's not such a large number. When you look at Europe, there's 24 official languages, right? Asia has about 73 very popular languages that are used by millions of people. But there's over 2,300 languages in Asia. That includes all of the dialects, right?
Yeah, I was about to say dialects, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll keep that around 73. In the South America, there's the two popular ones are Brazilian Portuguese and Spanish, and of course the different flavors of that. Outside of some of the other dialects that are typical down there, there's Chinese down there, French, Arabic, but that's already considered kind of in the Asian languages or the European language. Now, although this is not perfect math, right? It's gonna paint a picture. So if you divide the 650,000 translators by the number of languages that are popular for translation, right? Mostly used, we'll say there's 100, right? Mm-hmm. Then you divide that by the specialties, right? Mm-hmm. The specialties could be travel and entertainment, pharmaceutical, biotech, legal, finance. Those are all different specialties. And there's estimated to be about 100 different specialties when you're talking about languages.
True.
Right. There are thousands of medical device companies and thousands of pharmaceutical companies. You take that number, that literally leaves a few hundred translators per specialty,
industry,
per language, right? Now, again, that's not perfect math, but it paints a picture, the importance of having educated translators in a specialty, right? To make sure that translations are getting done right. And that's only considering where English is either the source or the target language. What if you need a translation, and it happens, I don't know, we'll say simplified Chinese to Brazilian Portuguese, right? Mm-hmm. That's difficult. There's probably not many people that can do that. I just learned recently that there are three translators in Iceland that can translate Icelandic to English and back for life science companies. Three. So, you know, there's thousands of companies vying for their time and their use, right, to translate.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think also, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Completely. But I think also one thing to keep in mind is that we don't just hire people, right, because they speak multiple languages. Mm-hmm. You know, they're put through test translations. They have to meet qualifications. We require a college degree, either in linguistics or a relevant field. You have to be a native speaker. You have to have the sector expertise. And you have to have experience as a translator. Now, RWS can alleviate some of this challenge by internally staffing. We have about 1,600 in-house full-time translators that work for us. And that's to absorb the need sometimes for scale or expediting required by their clients. We have also created an internship program to introduce and develop new talent for the future. Here's where we partner with about in 35 countries with different universities, and we provide internship opportunities for anybody who's interested in working in the localization space. You know, I think this is a wonderful and proactive initiative, and it not only helps RWS, and essentially it helps the entire industry, right?
Yeah.
One more thing, getting back to the question of challenges, right?
Challenges, yeah.
Each LSP, localization service provider, has a vendor relations division, right? And they are the department that works with freelance translators and agencies to identify the proper talent within certain languages and specialties that can assist working with our clients, right, and providing the services. They are probably one of the most important parts of the organization, right, to find the talent so that we can service our clients.
No, absolutely. And again, you know, it's so important that not everybody, and Maida and I discuss this a lot, because when we need writers and we want writers with a clinical background or mental health experts, not everybody that can read and write English can write clinical content. So not everybody that can speak a language fluently can be a translator. Yeah. Because it's such an important skill set. And when you actually put cultural context on top of translation, it just becomes very different, because people, this is the skills where you have to understand the small nuances of what should be said, what shouldn't be said, and how one word will be perceived. So yeah, that's great. You know, the services RWS is offering are so needed, I guess, definitely in this digital world.
Yes, absolutely.
No, absolutely. I think this also speaks to, because Liz, you touched upon the, you know, sort of like the wide expansion of languages and the different dialects and cultures, and how there is, in fact, maybe even a shortage of specific translation experts or linguists. And I think this is where diversity and the need for diversity and inclusion come in. And I know there's a lot of talk about now gender neutral content, and it's not only limited to just language translations. You know, and just again, my next question would be, what's the importance of cultural adaptation and localization of content?
Yeah, so it's a very interesting, challenging, and needed, actually, you know, in our environment, right? Mm-hmm. So cultural adaptation being considered now, it really includes the areas of population that have been underserved, right? So I think you specifically wanted to ask this when it comes to clinical trials, right?
Yeah.
So it's extremely essential for any well-designed clinical trial that's measuring outcomes, right? And, you know, in the past, there were no cultural considerations. Clinical trials were made up of white males, you know, within a certain age bracket, right? Now, inclusion, both culturally, regionally, and representative of more than just a single demographic, you know, it's sure, imperative to drug development and population representation.
Absolutely.
I'll just give you an example. So Black men have twice the risk of diabetes over white men, yet the exclusion of them in clinical trials was typical. So this means that the Black population was not served well nor represented in drug development, right? Is the disease based on their culture, meaning the food that they eat, their genetics? You know, this is where cultural adaptation comes in, by including those that are less and underserved when it comes to drug development.
No, absolutely. And so important to obviously look at the wider population, include everybody. And we saw some of these trials and vaccines during COVID times, where we knew that the trials were being done on a small set of the population and not including everybody. And then you raised a point about the shortage of translators and the translation services, not only in life sciences, but across all industries. So I would want to know, what do you think the emerging technologies, what role, Liz, do you think they can play in global and regional communication translations?
Yeah, so, you know, over the years, translations have undergone a lot of changes, like most industries, with the development of technology and determining, you know, where it can be used, like we talked about with machine translation, right? Use cases. You know, when you think back with translations, we started out as a desktop version, right? We were just basically two papers in front of each other. Then we went to floppy disk storage. Then we moved to online software and then cloud storage. So not so long ago, dictionaries were used, right? Today we have glossaries and translation memories. For those of you who don't know what translation memories are, they are saved strings of words that have been translated and quality checked to be reused in the future translation for that same language pair. So imagine how much time just translation memory saves, right?
True.
Translation memory set a higher standard for turnaround time, right? And I think machine translation is the next step to set a new standard for turnaround time. I read the other day that there's a CAT tool where a translator can speak the translation, giving their fingers a rest from the keyboard, right? That's how they kind of posed it, right? We speak about 150 words a minute, and fast typers are about 100 words a minute. And that's a 50% increase in speed, right? Not only in speed, but it also, to the article's point, resting fingers, right? It rests your fingers, right? Connectors and APIs are connecting different technologies so that, you know, within multiple environments, but specifically translations, we can work faster. We can get that that request quicker, right? Without a shadow of a doubt, there are emerging technologies, and if used in a smart way, can have a positive impact on the translation process. Time, effort, accuracy.
Yeah, time, and, you know, resting fingers, I would say, with the time we all spend in front of a laptop, it'll be good if you can walk around and speak. Give our fingers a rest and some exercise to our legs. I think that'll be good for everyone.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Liz. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Your insights were very valuable. I hope they were to the listeners as well. Do you have any ending notes? Do you want to say something before we end our podcast?
Yeah, so much. Thank you for having me. I hope that I enlightened your listeners, you know, with the information I presented. And if anybody would like to reach out to me, don't hesitate. You can go through RWS contact page. You can find me on LinkedIn. But thank you so much. This was a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. It was lovely talking to you, Liz.